Put our hands together and say, this was our Father. In the name of Jesus, we'll receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word.
As regards concerning spirituals
and walking in the light of it,
we'll receive your word. It is clarity, it is simplicity,
and in its accuracy. There's no error as your word is taught in my heart and in this atmosphere. We receive your word with gladness, with meekness, ready to walk in the light of it all the days of our life. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So we're going to press towards the climax of this series on pneumaticals. So we'll pick up something else shortly. But just to take us through some of the things we've been looking at again from the beginning. Hallelujah. Just to look at it, a couple of things again, and then we'll focus on what we have for today. Matthew 28 from verses 18. This should be the 14th session that we're having. 14. So Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power, that's the word exousia, authority, has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. Say, go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Hallelujah.
He says, lo, I am with you always.
Okay, now watch that. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. And I told us, you watch the word there, I am with you. Hallelujah. I am with you.
But before he gets to that, he dealt with them, made disciples. Now, we said, Mark will say, go preach the gospel. Right? Mark 16, verse 15. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So, who would you make a disciple? Who would be a disciple? The man that is saved. Hope you're following that. And then you have to pay attention to what Matthew said that wasn't actually written. When Matthew said, go make a disciple, the act of making a disciple is primarily by preaching.
You know, you find that in Mark and Luke. Hallelujah. By preaching. So that means Jesus gives us a task in the earth by preaching. He didn't say make disciples by snatching people from other people's churches. No. Hallelujah. He made this and make disciples by preaching. Hallelujah. So he gives us an assignment in the earth. An assignment in the earth. Which we say is the believer's primary assignment in the earth. We have a primary assignment in the earth.
You know, I know there are some people who wake up and say, why was I even born? That's a stupid question to ask.
Hallelujah. Because not to be born again is not to have a purpose. We saw that on Sunday, right? We saw that on Sunday. We said when he uses that word, vagabond and fugitive, it doesn't mean you'll be wandering around. That is the word Noah and Nod. N-U-A-N-O-D. Noah and Nod. It means so it means not to have a purpose. That's what the word is used for. Not to have a purpose. So when it comes Cain, is it a fugitive and a vagabond? God isn't placing a curse on Cain. No, that is the resultant effect of not believing in the gospel. Amen. That's right. Jesus in John chapter 3 will say, he that believes not stands condemned already. Hallelujah.
That's John 3 verse 15. He stands condemned already.
So, you know, Jesus placed a curse. No, not a curse. He said, John chapter number 5. Look at John 5 from verses 45. He said, do not think, John, sorry, quickly. Hallelujah. Amen. John 5, 45. He says, do not think I will accuse you before the Father.
Now, when you see what accuse you, there is like, is the word how you put past a judgment. He said, do not think I will accuse you before the Father.
He said, there's one who accuses you. He's not trying to paint Moses black. No.
Actually, what he's saying there, that not think I'm going to write a new accusation to you. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. You don't think I'm going to write a new accusation to the Father concerning you.
He said, there's an already existing accusation in the scriptures, which was written by Moses in whom you trust. Isn't it? Hallelujah. I said, if you believe Moses, you believe in me.
So that means the condemnation in Moses, come on, is the condemnation you find in the rejection of the gospel.
So Moses wrote it there. Adam and Eve sinned and they were away from the garden. That is the condemnation. Hallelujah. You find it in Cain and Abel. Cain sinned and he was a fugitive and a vagabond. The same effect, right? But different expression. He was taking, he said, from thy face, O Lord, Genesis chapter 4, verses 8. He said, from thy face, O Lord, shall I be hid. Did you see that? Hallelujah. From thy face, O Lord. He said, you've driven me this day out of the surface of the earth. Out of the face of the earth. He said, from thy face shall I be hid. Did you see that? So that means, it's the same thing. That's what happened to his father. They were taken out of the garden, out of God's presence. Did you see that? Hallelujah. And he calls that fugitive and vagabond. So that means you will be without purpose. Did you see that? He said, he went further to explain that. He said, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not yield to thee of his fruits. What that means there, it shall not yield unto thee. What it means there is that you will not be found in my task. You will not be found in God's purpose. You see that? So to be saved is to be found in God's purpose. Hope you follow me. Is to be found in God's purpose. So that means for the believer, the believer doesn't have multiplicity of purpose. No, the believer has one purpose. Hope you are hearing me. Have one purpose. We have one vision. We have one ideology. Put it this way, we have one purpose. We have one goal. Hope you are hearing me. Hallelujah. So our purpose is found in God's purpose in the earth. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. So that means any other decision. Now, I didn't put any other purpose you have, because that would be contradictory. Any other decision you want to make in the earth is not a purpose. It's a decision. Must be found around this. So this purpose, which is man's purpose or your purpose in Christ, becomes the centerpiece of every other decision you're going to make in life. It shouldn't be negotiated. You know how I've said this from the very first, this reading for the Sunday. Hallelujah. It shouldn't be negotiated. Don't negotiate it for anything. Obey everything. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. God's word is our standard. God's task is our standard. Hope you follow it. It's our standard. So you don't negotiate it for anything. It tells you who you will get married to. It tells you, it says, who's going to fight in the Amen? It tells you who you're going to, it tells you the kind of job you're going to pick up. Oh yeah. It tells you the kind of things you're going to do. It tells you the kind of city you're going to relocate to. Say, are you sure, sir? Very sure. Amen. What am I doing in a city where the primary purpose isn't God's work? So the primary purpose for your relocation is not a job. It's not better life. And like a song we sang when we're small, better life, now inside Jesus Christ. Better life there, better life, Jesus, better life, now inside Jesus Christ. Better life there. Many people say, better life there for London. Many people say, better life there for Canada. Many people say, better life there for Bayelsa. But now inside Jesus Christ, better life there. Love that song. Hallelujah. Well, it's just simple. Amen. You must have a purpose. You must know what your purpose is in life. And you don't necessarily need, you know, I shared this with us about a youth fellowship I belong to growing up. They now organize. May I see it as rebellion?
But I'm going to give you guys the other side of the story. I saw it as rebellion.
Because those were the days I began to teach them. Let me just say it on the surface. I began to teach on some new creation reality in their midst. But I was on Jellicoe and they didn't like it. So I was told severally to take out the Jellicoe and I said no. And I said because of that I'm going to preach again.
I said yeah. I'm going to preach at church. That's if I'm teaching. Amen.
So it didn't just move me because I was into evangelism. And it didn't evangelism, but I've been teaching people. So, stay with us. Hey, you're going to get Jellicoe. Many of them, I engaged them in Jellicoe. And what was I there to deal with them? People that say, okay. You told me to deal. Anyway, let's go ahead. So, I thought it was rebellion. So they now said, you're going to do, well, after that period I used to teach them. In fact, when I started, they felt I was teaching them too well that I was not being given almost every Saturday to teach them. So every Saturday I was Bible study, I was not coming to teach them. So on Monday is a song, and here I wasn't singing soprano auto tenor or bass. So what am I going to sing? When someone had already made themselves bad when I was in Sunday school, they would say, hey, let the voice go, go ahead, and then do that, everyone should stop. I miss I was the one. I heard Satan sing. I said, hey!
My voice!
Now that I'm talking, I just kept crying. I'm not going to sing anymore. I told myself I'm not going to sing anymore. Yeah! Okay, that guy is not
nobody is not saying that.
He's not the one who's singing you know by way, also seeing the demon that comes.
Seriously, how can you say that in front of children? You say that you heard it from the sister. Okay, if you know it was sister, then we should be praying. That everybody who know by way, singing you know by way, was singing you know by way. I say, what kind of life?
When you are like, this one's going to catch me to do what is on Jesus. Because my brother used to tease me at home that I don't know how to sing. So, like, this guy's going to catch me. Yeah. But we knew what we did. I have a bad boy, you know that. Yeah. We knew what we did. We got to ask them. We're not singing for my note. Yeah.
So, I wasn't going for the song. Because they didn't even know where to put me. At some point, I was singing all day. Somebody said, no, it's not on 10. So I said, no, it's soprano. I don't want to know. Put me one part, let me sing. So I knew that singing was not my thing. And I have consolation in my papa, Kenny Hagin. He used to have no idea. Oh, yeah, you're anointing.
Yeah? Well, just that period, when I had that issue with them, as the girl gently calling off them, and my stance on females putting on trousers, they said, no. I can't teach anymore. So they now went to hire a book, big book. Everybody bought that book, money. If I told them to sow a seed, they wouldn't have sown. They bought big book. And then I'll be, I guess you join them to do that training or that class. Or you bought the book. And then you bought the book, or you join them. Purpose driven life. You bought it. You fellowship, right? Is that you or your brother? One of you. So, help of purpose-driven life. Sorry, I have never been called the name for a while, but purpose-driven life. So they were reading books. They were reading it.
We're now doing it line upon line, precept upon precept. So one day I now called someone and I said, ask the person, what is this book? What have you learned? He said, man, I've discovered my purpose. What is the purpose? He said, my talent. You have to bring out my talent. There was a time like that. Let me pause. I knew I was going to be a pastor.
I didn't wake up and say, pastor today.
No,
I knew I was going to be a pastor. Even while I was in Sunday school, I told them, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to pastor people. That I'm here because I'm in training. I told them.
So when it was time, nobody had issues with me. Started going and being in church, my church. Amen. I knew I was going to be preaching.
That is what I'm not giving me talent. Don't worry about it.
And it's not to give me talent. You have to go to sing it. But thank God, glory to God. I'm better than several people here by the power of the Holy Ghost. My boast is not in vain.
Amen.
God that does that did it for me can do it for you. Send me amen.
Glory to God. Amen. So the believer has a purpose in Christ.
Hallelujah. Have a purpose in Christ.
Okay, that's it. We began looking at that and said that instruction at the background of it we said is the local church. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So very vital, we said that instruction will be carried out through the local church. So that means the local church is very important to the well-being of the believer.
To the well-being of the believer. Look at 5x5 when I talk to you on spiritual growth. I told you, I've never seen a man who grew spiritually outside of the church. I can't find a man. I cannot still tomorrow.
God has set it that way. Obviously. That's what God has said. I've had a local church. Hallelujah. So we said how the believer handles the local church and the people therein is very important and will tell his spiritual development. How you handle the local church. Listen, I'm going to deal a bit around it today and next week. How you handle the local church.
Tell us what's going to do. It's very vital. I'm
going
to
save you on that. Hallelujah. So, remember, their issue was within the local church. They had strife.
They had envy. They had division. They had faction. They treated the local church like a political war front. Sentiment. Hallelujah. How about how the church is?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Paul began to address their issues that issue
which is in their practice of Christianity,
their fellowship between themselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians. Quickly. 1 Corinthians. So what we said, when he says in chapter 12 verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, we said the background for it will be where? The background for it will be the local church, right? And the issues they had within the local church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 11 quickly. Look at what he said there. In verse 20, he said, when you come together into one place, he said, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, everyone takes before the other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. Don't you have houses for drinking? Or despise them the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Before then, he says in verse 8, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions amongst you, partly I believe it. He says there must also be heresies. Heresies means factions. Hallelujah. So we have that background then. And that background will have its origin in why Paul would use some certain narratives to them, because he says they were carnal. 1 Corinthians 3. They were carnal. So it's like, I couldn't speak to you about the spiritual. Hallelujah. But I've gone to Cana. So what does he offer to them as the solution in the gathering? He said spiritual. So how I should treat the gathering should be spiritual. How I should function with the brethren therein should be spiritual, not Cana. You see that? Not Cana, but spiritual. So that, well, yes, spirituals, it means things in the spirit of the spirit and by the spirit. And we are not, the things of the spirit are not far away from the believer. So what Paul just did, what Paul did with them, was that he wrote what he said. Look at what he did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I mean chapter 2, verses 4, he said, when I came to you, I came not with a celestial of spirit, but with a demonstration of the spirit and power. So there he calls that information of the spirit, he calls the preaching of the gospel, information of the spirit, he calls it spiritual. Hallelujah. That's one side. He now calls the believer spiritual. What does he say? He says, when, how does the man get born again? When he receives the message. Did you see that? So that's why I use the word apodexis. Meaning the preaching of the gospel is the spirit of God putting forth light on the dark surface. I hope you're following me. Amen. So that means my first contact with the Spirit is when the gospel is preached. Now in verse 12 he now said, you will receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is from God. That is from God. Did you see that? Everybody know the spirit that has been freely given to us of God. Now here's what he says. He now says that what we receive is the spirit in the preaching of the gospel. Now what has he done? He has made the believer or the man born again to see that the things of the Spirit is not far from him. He is where the things of the Spirit are. Hallelujah. He is in the Spirit. So the things of the Spirit are not aliens to him. No. The things of the Spirit are things that he should bear out. Okay, believe me. Things of the Spirit are his. They are not far from him. Amen? And remember, we now talk about things of the spirit, or we now talk about spirituals. We spoke about supernatural, the supernatural world, and we said the supernatural world is not a distant world. Did we see that? Did we see that? It's not a distant world. Amen. We said it will be found within the earth. It's an overlap, right? We said we'll have that supernatural. Right? And man was given the spirit so that he can interact between both worlds. Now, why did I say that? I said that for you to see, listen, for you to see that you are not alien to the things of the spirit. You are not aliens to them. The believer is not an alien to the things of the spirit. They are things of your spirit. They are things of your spirit. That's what this stands for him. So when God says, when the scripture says love, love is a product of the spirit. So when you have love, honor, you are not going to try to look for it. No, they are already yours by people. Amen. So you don't try to learn to love. That is why, no, I'm trying to learn to walk in love. No. Amen. Very well. Amen. You don't try to learn to love. You love. So, what does the information do? Why would teach you so that you get to know that you are not
ignorant as regards the things that are available to you. So that means, for example, a child who is supposed to be walking, right? And he is crawling. And you come and you tell the child, no, you're not supposed to crawl but to walk. And you show the child this how to walk. What do you say when I tell the child, stand up and walk? And then I said, no, I'm trying to. No, no, he's supposed to be walking, right? Right? So the child by default is supposed to stand and walk. By default. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Because walking is how the child should be. I'm not talking about a child that is paralyzed. What people follow me? A child is walking but decide to crawl. He doesn't know. Stand up and walk. Because by default, they're supposed to walk. Amen. Amen. So that's how it is. So the thing when a believer hears honor, don't say, no, I'm trying to walk in honor. No, you're not trying to. You're supposed to be walking in honor. What are you following? So you have taught so that you will learn to walk. I mean, so you have taught that you will walk correctly. Amen. You have taught to walk correctly. What are you following? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, he used the word pneumaticus there. So, we said, in his dealing with that, he says, what brings you a very vital part of the Christian gathering? Hallelujah. It's a very vital part of the Christian gathering. And he says, when we're gathered, what we have, what we share, when you use the word pneumaticus, he says, when we gather, what we share, what it becomes vital, sorry, is our common identity. Something very vital in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 15, he will say, don't you know that you're, that, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 15, don't you know that ye are the temple of God? But you know what the ye there is referring to their gathering, together. He said, ye together are the temples of God. The temples of God. Did you see that? Temple of God. Something that is very vital. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 6. I mean, look at the second part. It says that is the Spirit of God dwells in you. In you, there is not talking about individually alone in there. It's talking about dwells in that gathering. So the Spirit of God dwells in that gathering. Something you're going to see. When the place is called the temple of God. That is, when you hear the word temple of God, your mind goes back to where? Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, heaven and earth. Your mind goes again to Genesis chapter number 28. Where you find Jacob and he saw the ladder. He had a vision and he saw the ladder that got to heaven. And who was on the top of the ladder? He said, the Lord. You see that? The Lord. So that means in the temple, in God's temple, that ladder was to signify the temple. Hallelujah. In the temple, you have God in the temple. How many are following me? How many are following me? Glory to God. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. So you find God there. We will also bring in that vital part where you are, when you hear the word pneumaticus, right? Your mind goes to the temple. And in the temple you find God. God is there. When you hear temple fact, when there's a temple fact, you find what should come to your mind is God's dwelling place. Okay, following me. Amen. That should be the fact that should come to your mind. God's dwelling place. Hallelujah. God dwells in place. So that means God dwells in the midst of our gathering. Hallelujah. In our midst when we are gathered. In Exodus chapter, we saw that in Exodus. He says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Did you see that? Temple fact. Sanctuary, temple fast, I will dwell amongst them. Hallelujah. And we said this from the beginning. We said that fact of the Spirit with us creates that it creates reverence amongst ourselves. Reverence for the gathering. Reverence between believers. Reverence. So it creates or it brings to bear the sense of the miraculous. You must have that consciousness of the miraculous when we are gathered. But does not necessarily need to be a miracle service or a healing service. No. You can be rest assured you are coming to church and God's Spirit is in our gathering. You'll be healed. Hallelujah. And the word is taught. Healing comes to me. Hallelujah. This doesn't need to teach healing. Oh, hallelujah. The sense of the miraculous. They had that consciousness. Amen. See, it was because of that consciousness.
They knew that they were in the wilderness. And there was no way they were going to get meat. So, because they've seen bread miracles, they started asking for it. They knew God was going to give them. They had that sense of the miraculous. Amen. Yeah,
you
have that.
Go to God.
Yeah.
Go to God. Yeah. Also, we spoke about is it gone? Okay. Also, it brings to bear caution. Caution. Must be cautious when we are gathered together.
Because we know the Spirit of God is with us, we don't throw caution into the wind.
Oh yeah, you don't do that.
Yes. Let me just stay on fire! No. Amen. You drop your rashness at home.
Come and follow you. Amen. And it also brings to bear that God is leading us as a family. So what that does is brings that to bear, that there is this family,
to bring that family consciousness and how God is leading us
together. Hallelujah. So that means a believer cannot and should not deny this fact. To deny this fact of the Spirit amongst us in the garden is to deny the supernatural or food, to deny the supernaturality of our gathering. You know the supernaturality of our gathering is what we call the resurrection. So, did you see that? So that means a denier of God with us is a denier of the supernaturality of our gathering and a denier of the resurrection. Amen. Amen. I don't know, deny the resurrection is not to be born again. Just say that you are not born again, happy issue. Hallelujah. If you're following me. So let's look at a few things. So we said Paul's solution. Which is pneumaticals, is the reality of heaven and earth, right? The reality of heaven and earth. Pneumaticos is heaven and earth.
What?
That is the reality. Pneumaticos is the reality of the temple. When you're heaven and earth is the temple. So we said, Paul called the gathering the temple, as we read earlier. And the gift of the Spirit are found in the temple. 1 Corinthians 12. Hallelujah. And it is for our common good. Did you see that? So, what Paul did was to take away that selfishness. Selfishness in itself is the flesh. When a believer becomes selfish, he or she has switched to the flesh. So, the very essence of spiritual gifts, the gift of the Spirit, annuls selfishness. It says for our common good, for the profit of all. Did you see that? Amen. You see that? That is why all through 1 Corinthians 14, when Paul began to talk about tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy, what was the goal? Edification. Did you see that? Edification. Now, he now said, I don't want to say, it basically this way, is it to speak in tongues? He that speaks in our own tongues has an audience of one. Right? He that prophesies has an audience of many. Did you see that? And I said, I won't want you to speak with tongues. I don't want you to miss where he's going to. He's not telling you, you don't speak in tongues. You shouldn't speak in tongues. I don't want you to speak in tongues. Remember, the emphasis is the gathering. You see that? This was the same Paul that said, he that does not, that has not, I mean, that has no prophecy, he should remain silent and speak to himself and God in tongues. You see that? Amen? Then he said he should remain silent. Sigao. Sigao doesn't mean you should keep quiet. Sigao means is the relative silence. He said he should keep silent and speak to himself. So you are keeping silent to talk to yourself and God. And this was to talk to God. And that is the same audience of one in verses 3. Did you see that? And that is tongues. You need to see all this together. So remember, he was talking about their gathering. You must have pointed that out from chapter 12 that the emphasis, from chapter 11, that the emphasis is on the gathering. Amen. In fact, from chapter 3, where he says, don't you know that you are the temple of God? Gathering. The emphasis is on gathering. Chapter 11, gathering. Chapter 12, gathering. Now chapter 14, the emphasis is still on gathering. He showed him in chapter 13 that what should come to bear in the gathering in chapter 13 is love. This is that love. Prophet of all, love. Prophet of all, love. Now is now called edification. That is also the love of will see in edification. Hope you are following that. Edification becomes the divider in chapter 14. So he said, I don't want to speak in tongues. Not to speak in tongues at all, but remember it's related in the congregation. He said, so that you will bless life. He now said, rather than speaking tongues alone, you should go further to interpret. This is that the church may receive edification. It takes away that very fact of selfishness. Now, where do we have this narrative? Where do we have this narrative of selfishness and God's work, God's intervention in selfishness? Let me see you. Who is going to answer? No? Where do you have that? So, in the Tower of Babel, listen, in the Tower of Babel, they said, let's make a name for ourselves. Ourselves, that was selfish. Amen. Also, what you will now find will now be you find plurality, you find unity in chaos. And where you will now find, in fact, where you will now get the narrative of tongues from, will be from Tower of Babel. Amen. But that's not what we're looking at today. Amen. But that's not what we're looking at. It's just something I guess I should bring to bear. Amen. Amen. So, a quick one. So, like we said, so that tongues in itself, the gift of the tongues in itself it breaks every form of selfishness. That's what you need to see. It breaks every form of selfishness. So when the Bible says, for the purpose of all, the gift of the Spirit, for with of all, it shows that the believer, what was not be found around the believer is selfishness. Jealousy. Envy. Hallelujah. It shouldn't be found among the believer. Amen. So last time we started looking at what do you have in the local church, right? What do you have? I have a brethren. So we dealt with the brethren. Right? How should I walk in the Spirit towards the brethren? We looked at a bit of that. Right? How should I walk in the Spirit towards the leadership? We said the leadership is God's. It's God's settled. How should I walk in towards the leadership? And how is the leader supposed to walk in the Spirit towards the brethren? Did we look at all that? Okay, let's even stay a bit with the gathering itself. But we will do that. Remember, something we mustn't lose sight of is the fact that the role of the leadership is what? The role of the leadership to me is for my punishment. Hallelujah. Punishment. the word charatismos. Charatismos. And we said that word furnishing. You know, it looks nice when you have furnishing. It means furnishing that will be shiny. That will be the resultant effect. But that effect will carry in it rebuke, will carry in it correction, will carry in it reproof. Hallelujah. Amen. All together will be called furnishing. Something very important that you have to see. Let's stay a bit around the gathering. Hallelujah. So we said the gathering is God amongst us. In this gathering, you have God amongst us. You know, many a times, I believe there are several people, because many people have thought well the scriptures. They tend to treat the gathering that you have. In fact, something that I'm going to pick up, and I'm going to pick up for us from next year, will be the narrative of Keith. And it will be gathering. Amen. Okay, following it. To be a narrative of Keith. I need to say, we don't necessarily need to be within these four walls. It's church time. I can be with this sister. You understand? I was just in the same, let's say, in the same office or food, in the same association. Once we are together, amen, is the gathering. God is in our conversation. God is with us. Hallelujah. You must never throw that into the wind. But never throw God in the company of believers away. God is in the company of believers. Hallelujah. Okay, I hear you. I've heard someone say something, and he says, see, he said it to someone. I don't need sister. In fact, to not shock you, but at that day, this thing happened was on a Sunday. And I met this sister in church. Not just that I met her in church, we prayed in tongues together. Amen? Yes, ma'am. We prayed in tongues together. And you are there, well. So that day I came around to my friend's place, and she stayed around there, and lo and behold, she was fighting another believer on the top. You know what you want now to do, brother? Say, sister, dead! I'm not the church. They leave me, give it out here! Something is just between upstairs and gates. What a gate or gate? Or you think you think about the secrecy? Let me warn you. No! Can you do one like that? Amen? You just left it upstairs. As if they left their car key somewhere. And I'm going to deal with you black and blue. Think we come. Do you think I'm going to eat you? No. Come here, do you think I'm going to do what? Do I look like? False! Don't talk in Holy Ghost feet. No, that at that point she's not Holy Ghost feet. She's carnally feet. Don't talk it! Ha! I couldn't take that thing off my head for a long time. I was like, what? What? Come on. Amen. The gathering is God amongst us. God amongst us. That is why we are called brethren. Amen? We are called brethren. We are from the same source. We have the same father. Who is with us? We are from the same family. Family! The same family! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Psalms 29 quickly. Psalms 29 verse 9. Amen? So God is amongst us. Psalm 29, quickly. Are you in Psalm 29? Look at verse 9. It says, the word of the Lord maketh their hands to cleave, army to carve, and discover the forest, and in the temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Hallelujah. In his temple, does everyone speak of his glory?
Now when you use the word in his temple I have everyone, it shows a gathering.
Did you see that?
In his temple of everyone. That is a gathering.
Hallelujah.
That's a gathering. So the temple is a gathering.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So that means what we have in his temple is his glory. We have his glory. That is glory.
Hallelujah. Hello, glory.
Have his glory.
I would say we are his glory in the temple. Hope you're following that.
Amen.
Who's that song?
His glory now. Don't be looking for light to shine.
See his glory.
Now
when
the
glory appears, you're talking about
hallelujah.
Yeah?
Hallelujah.
Where
his glory?
In his
temple.
Okay, follow
it.
You go
on
the
fly.
Holiness
and truth.
Fire and mind.
See his
glory.
There is you up here.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, what you have in his gathering is his glory. His glory. And he said, on everyone, now, his glory, we are part of his glory, right? But everyone speaks of his glory. Remember, his glory implies what he has done, what he has as possession, what has God done. So, he said, we will speak of what he has done. Did you see that? Amen. So, we have his glory. Lord, we are God that will speak of what we have as a common identity, the Spirit. So, that comes to bear. Come here, that's going to be a very important thing. His glory. So that means the local church is his glory. The local church is God's glory in the earth. They will speak of his glory. Now that word they will speak of there is the word where you have the word to commune, to speak well of. Hallelujah.
We speak well of his glory.
Hallelujah.
We shout, that we have the word to shout like a shout of victory. We shout well of his glory.
Hallelujah.
So that means, I must speak well of that gathering. Speak well of the local church. You speak right about it. I know there are some untrained people. Untrained, I say. They are untrained. They are not speak anyhow about the local church. Someone one time said, I've never said that.
Said, when you put your hand in a church, and you put your hand across the window, you start another local church. The church everywhere, church everywhere. That's how sin is everywhere.
That's what you see. You don't say that. And you're born again,
you're born again. You said you're born again.
Hallelujah.
I find it hard to call anyone born again who will say some such kind of thing.
Can you say that?
It shows you don't know what God is doing in the earth.
Hallelujah.
You know, years back, that was around 1970 something, Kenneth Hagin said something. He said, he knows of what God is doing in the earth.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He said, what God is doing in the earth is that God is raising strong local churches. That's what God is doing in the earth. He has not changed it tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
That's what God is doing in the earth. Strong local churches.
Strong.
Amen.
I hope that was on Saturday or last week.
Hallelujah. You will be found speaking ill of the local church. Because you know that's what God is doing in the earth. That's what God is doing in the earth.
Hallelujah.
That's what God is doing in the earth. Don't be found there. Some people are like that. Some people will now go, it's better you even talk than to do something like
The world now go and talk. Now they will now say it's me that said it.
No, don't
listen. Why do you have to do that? That is even disdaining on you.
Hallelujah.
You are not found in those scandals. You don't murmur against the local church.
You know, Paul will warn.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, do not murmur as they did.
Do not murmur as they did.
They murmur. He says, don't be found murmuring.
Yes.
Don't be found murmuring.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We saw that last week.
Amen.
Verse Corinthians chapter 10. It says these things serve as examples.
Examples to us.
First Corinthians 10 quickly. Hallelujah. But he's saying, now these things happened to them for examples, and they were written for our warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We explained that ends of the world are come last week, right? Upon whom the ends of the world are come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. They happen, so they are examples. So we shouldn't murmur. Don't be found grumbling.
No, if I don't murmur, I will just grumble. It's the same thing. Grumble, murmur, it's the same thing. Shades of the same thing. Hallelujah.
I don't have fear. I'm just scared. Sure, all right. What's the difference? One is English name, the other one is traditional name. Same person. Hallelujah. So, speak right of the church. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Speak right of the church.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Because that's what God is doing here today. Well, that's what God is doing there today. Strong local churches. Strong local churches. Look at the sign we take to teach. God is building a strong local church. God is building strong local churches. Strong local churches. Men who are filled with the Holy Ghost there. Men trained in the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Strong local churches. Can we call it strong temples in all the earth? Strong temples in all the earth? Genesis 1:1. It is, when it says, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So when it says heaven and earth, we said it is the temple. Hallelujah. It's the temple. So what God is doing is heaven and earth. What God is doing in the whole earth is his temple in all the earth. God is using his temple in all the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the gathering. So can we say God is raising his gathering, his family in all the earth? Is that it? We say the temple, heaven and earth, the gathering is what? Family. Did we say that? God's family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how and what we say? How, what we and what we say about the temple is very vital. It's very vital. It's very vital. What do you say about the local church? What do you say about your local church? Hallelujah. What do you say? What do you say?
There's a pastor that I'm going to show us next week as we wrap up. Hallelujah. What do you say about your local church? What is it? Some of us are so bearing on culture.
I have to correct someone, an elderly man, recently, that attends his local church. And he didn't like the way the pastor is. No, the pastor is much younger. Elderly man. So the pastor is much younger than him. I didn't like the way the pastor used to do something. And say, Money is also go to church and is worshipping God. Anything pastor wants to be, anything the pastor wants to be, let him be doing it with his own couple. He said it. I was shocked. And then you're supposed to be teaching me. Alright? Tell me, how can you say that? I was shocked. He said, that pastor. He called his pastor by name. Everybody not called church. And it has got nothing to do with your age. Amen. God will do it. Call the pastor by his name, but add a pastor at the back. Amen. So that I say, pastor smart. You are pastor. Leave age there. Amen. And he said, I can't. He said, I can. He said, smart. I can. They say, I can burn. I can burn. Your pastor. Amen.
Yeah,
amen. Call the pastor by name. I now said it for her. Pastor is Pasha. No, you don't do that. He said he wants to scatter church. Say, Maoro, I will be there. He will scatter the church. Hey! No, you don't say that. Amen. He must learn how to address you. See,
in the course of local church.
Eh?
You don't see. Kill your opinion. I said, kill your opinion. The people that cause strife in the local church are people that cause the local church with opinion. Your opinion is not needed. Hope you hear me. See, I knew here. You know, some people can pick this up and say, ah, the pastor said
your opinion is not needed in church. Well, I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. Your opinion is not needed in the church.
Hope you hear me.
I say it again. Your opinion is not needed in the church. What is needed in the local church? What
you don't need to add your opinion. No. You need to walk in the spirit. You need to speak in the spirit. Hallelujah. So kill your opinion. We don't need it. Hallelujah. Nobody needs your opinion. Who are here? Amen. Your opinion.
Who here? Please hold your opinion in your pocket. When you go for your town's meeting, give your opinion. When you come here, flow in the spirit. Hallelujah. Be in the spirit. Don't give your opinion. Hallelujah. Then my opinion is, I just think that Pastor Stupid should not be here. Pastor Stupid should be here.
Keep your opinion. Look at what your opinion is thinking about Pastor Stupid.
My opinion.
Your opinion has never brought money. If you even bring money, we're not going to listen to your opinion. Okay, let's even look at your opinion again.
Your opinion is, you know, in a church like ours, we should be using split air conditioning. Please, how much is your offering?
So no, my opinion. How can pastors be buying cars? I don't have ACs in church.
Or then,
since you buy a car, I will seize you from your house. you buy a car for the reason that you can bring the car. You go to the Lord. Please,
keep your opinion now. Help Daniel. Who did your opinion help?
So keep your opinion.
We need your spirit to work here. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. We are in the temple. That's where we're trained. Oops, I'm on. Whoops, my time is up. Okay, let me just show you a few things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let me just see what I have on my notes. It says, his temple is where we are furnished and trained. Where we are furnished and trained. Anyone who speaks ill of the temple can never receive the benefit of the gathering.
What's the benefit of the gathering? We can never receive the training of the spirit. You can never receive the furnishing that God has for you there.
You can never be blessed.
You see, God has kept us in the local church.
Already. We can say you're going spiritually and you are in constant opposition in the spirit concerning your local church. What do you say about your local church when your pastor and brothers are successful? What do you say?
They hate you. They hate me. Only hate. Hallelujah. We don't have hate here. We have love. Hallelujah. Let's see an attitude that we'll begin to discuss next week. But we'll just have a look at it. Psalms 122. Psalms 122. Hallelujah. Are you Psalms 122? I want everybody to read together. Amen. Are you there? Psalms 122. Heaven on earth. Are you there? Okay, Psalms 122, let's read together, 1, 2, go. But verse 1, alone, 1, 2, go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I was glad when they said unto thee, Let us go into the house of God. That is the attitude of the believer. I was glad.
In this forms the total worldview of how you handle the world. This is what David said. He said, I was glad. I was in joy when they said unto me, let's go into the house of God.
Some people, when you say, let's go to church, they say, oh, it's Sunday again. Oh. But we're going to investigate that word. I was glad when it said unto me, let us go into the house of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was glad. So it's not an attitude of grumbling, but an attitude of gladness. Hallelujah. And that goes into how we prepare for the gathering. It goes into how we plan for it. He said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house. That word house there is the word belief. The same word for Genesis, part of Genesis 28, used for family, temple. The word belief for temple, for family. Say, I was glad when they said, let us go into the family of the Lord. Hallelujah. The gathering is called his belief. His beings. Let's go into the gathering. The gathering. Hallelujah. So there's an attitude we must have. It goes into how you prepare for it. I was glad. Hallelujah. When is there, let's go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. How's that? I'm going to investigate that message and see how we write out of the peace. When I'm put it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So how we treat the gathering will reflect whether we are walking in the Spirit. How we treat the gathering. How we treat the local church. How we carry out, it goes into how we carry out our officials in the local church. It's just the brethren, and the pastor. That no. It goes into how you carry out the responsibilities in your department. How you get useful in your group. You know, I told you, the walking in the Spirit is not translating you, it's not you moving to another realm, but it is your realm. Hallelujah. Amen. And remember I told you, spiritual growth will be found in simple things. Walking in the Spirit will be found in everyday. It becomes a believer's everyday life. Amen? And that is how, you know, walking in the Spirit is how they should, you know, Paul will bring in the wilderness of the Spirit. I need you to listen to this message from where I was teaching you last year. I taught us on leading of the Spirit, right? So read this leading of the Spirit from last year into this year. Amen? Leading of the Spirit. So, Paul showed us that in the leading of the Spirit, the background will be the Exodus, will be in the wilderness, how God wants us to live in the wilderness. Right? So it goes into simple things. Hallelujah. It goes into simple things. I say this is something. It also goes into our simple, our grasping.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Learn something? Learn something this evening. Let's run our feet out to thank the Lord.